And the Bible says our hearts cry, Abba, Father. So we would say it, Daddy. The title this morning would be God's Representatives. But I want us to pray this morning before we get started. Usually I don't pray because I pray before I get here, but I just felt like this morning maybe we all need to pray together. And let's just set our hearts and our minds on the Lord. You know, you can go to church and be in a service and not be here. You know, your mind be somewhere else or thinking about something and what you got to do or what a hard week you've had. Or sometimes I've been in the house and be thinking about what I've been going through all week. That's what Scotty was talking about, the insulated coveralls. But anyway, let's all just put everything down and set our hearts and our minds on the Lord. Because how many knows the Bible says that He wants to be our God and us to be His people. That He would be able to come and dwell in and among us, right? And fellowship with us and us with Him. So the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and I've heard this most times for salvation, but I don't believe it's just for salvation. I don't believe anything is just for salvation. He says, if any man, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And He said, if any man will open that door, I'll come into Him and I'll sup with Him and He'll sup with me. I don't know about y'all, but I needed Him for salvation and I still need Him to sup with me and I need to sup with Him every day of my life. So let's just pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this service this morning, God. Thank You, Lord, for choosing us. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for drawing us to the Father. For Your Word says, God, that no man comes to the Father lest he's drawn. Thank You, Father, that by Your mercy and Your grace, Lord, that You drawed us, God, and You've come into us. The Bible says, Christ in us, O God, that is the hope of the glory that is to be revealed. And Holy Spirit, we ask You to come and reveal Jesus unto us this morning. Come and be welcome in the service. We welcome You, Lord. We desire You to come. Lord, we know that You're already here. David said, Lo, I go and make my bed in hell. Lord God, You are there. But Lord, we ask, Father, for Your manifested presence this morning in power and demonstration of the Word of God by the Holy Spirit this morning. And Father, we love You and we set our hearts and our minds on You, God, to give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor and the thanksgiving, God, that our hearts, Father God, don't even have words to express how much we love You and how thankful that we are that You love us, God, just like You love Jesus. Father, I would ask You to come, Lord, and minister to every person this morning. Not only during Sunday school, Father, but in every service this morning, God. It's only You can. And Lord, we give You the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, Lord. So the title this morning, if I was going to put a title on it, it would be God's Representatives. And we are. So we need to know how to do it and do it well, amen, just like Jesus. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Luke chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, I'll be reading a lot of the Amplified Version, or Amplified Classic, as Monty pointed out to me, so good, that it'll be up on the screen if you don't have one. But Luke chapter 4, now this is going to be Jesus talking. And what happened? And we know that nothing had happened up until this time. And He went to the synagogue and He sat down. And the Bible says, verses above this, was delivered to Him the scroll of Isaiah. And the Bible says He opened the book and found the place in the book of Isaiah, right? So we're going to pick it up here in verse 18. I'm going to read it first in the King James and then I'll read it in the Amplified. That's chapter 5. I thought that ain't looking right. But it said, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now He's going to tell you why. He says, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now the Amplified says it this way, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, the Anointed One, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. That means poor in spirit, and how many knows even poor in natural? Because He said over in Corinthians, He said, He took upon Himself poverty, right, that we might be made rich. He goes on and he says, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity, to proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God. Now let's go over to 1 John. So that tells us why he came, right? Now probably every one of us in here could quote John 3:16, which is telling us why God sent him, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever shall call upon him, right, would receive him, would not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. And then Jesus said here, the reason why I have come and the reason why I am anointed is to do all the things that we just got through reading. Now, if we are his representatives and we are his ambassadors, guess what we're called to do? The same things, the same reason that he came is the same reason that me and you are still here. If it was not so, the day you got born again, you could just leave here and go be with Jesus. Right? But we're left here to be his representatives, to do the will of the Father and the works that Jesus himself started, we are called to finish. Jesus himself said, great things I do. He said, but greater things will you do. He said, because I ascend to the Father. And he told me, he said, I'm going to send back the Holy Ghost. You get born again, the Holy Ghost comes on the inside of you. Now, I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a whole different, separate experience. But when you get born again, the Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you. And how many knows he is the one that has the power? And the Bible says that he came in us to give us the power, the ability, the might, the strength, right? To do the same works that Jesus himself done. Now, let's look here at 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified, verse 8. It says, but he who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil, takes his character from the evil one. For the devil has sinned, violated the divine law from the beginning. Now notice this, the reason the Son of God was manifest, made visible, revealed to us, was to undo, to destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works the devil has done. So guess what? Me and you are called, appointed and anointed to do the same works, to destroy, loosen, right? The things, the works that the devil has done. Y'all too quiet. Y'all still asleep? You better wake up. Because see, the church of the living God is the most powerful force. According to Thessalonians, we are the restrainer in the earth. And the Bible says that that wicked one, that son of perdition, we know him to be the Antichrist himself, will not be revealed, cannot be revealed or come to the fullness of his power or authority until we, the church, is taken out of the way, because we are the restrainer in this earth of that evil one. So guess what? We should be shouting the glory. He ain't supposed to be doing nothing. Thank you, Monty. He ain't supposed to be doing nothing. I'm staying with Scripture, right? If Jesus came to destroy, if he was revealed and came to destroy the works of the devil, me and you are called, appointed, and anointed. Got the power, got the authority to shut him down. The Bible says that God gave the earth to the sons of men. That's me and you. Ain't nothing supposed to be happening here that me and you, the born-again believer, the church of the living God, don't allow. We have not, I'm not talking about just here, all over the world, we have not done our job as we should. Some because we didn't know. Let me say something this. I have known before pastors, and I'm not down on anybody. Maybe they didn't know. I don't know. But y'all know it not to be so here. They teach and they preach to their people in a way to keep them subdued to where they need them. I don't want you to need me. Don't call me at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying you can. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? You can if you need to. But if you know who you are and what's been done for you, more than what you're supposed to do, more than likely you won't have to call me. Because I'm going to be asleep. No, he don't. The Bible says the Lord, he never sleeps and he never slumbers. He said, the Bible said, God said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. No, not ever. No, I'll be with you always, even until the end. So you are never, if you've been born again, you're never alone. Well, I feel alone. It don't matter how you feel. It's what he said. We walk and we live by faith, right? That means we walk and we live, we conduct our lives, our speech, our thinking. We dominate our emotions. We have them, but we're not to be ruled by them. God has emotions, right? He loves, he is love. The Bible says he's compassionate, right? Has loving kindness, tender, merciful. Ain't that emotions? Don't you feel that? That has actions. So we made in his image and his likeness, so we're just like him. But he is never ruled or dominated by his emotions. And me and you are never to be ruled and dominated by our emotions. But see, if the church of the living God was doing all that we're called to do, and I'm not saying this in a negative way. I don't mean it negative. It's wake up. They wouldn't be so much killing, stealing, and destroying that the Bible talks about is the works of the devil here in the earth. If I've got killing, stealing, and destroying, he's running somewhere in my life. Now, I'm not talking about when you're in relationships with somebody, because I can't control nobody else. And there's things that they can do that can affect me. Right? You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about in just myself. I am the one. My mind belongs to me, and I am the one, not God, that is supposed to control it. My emotions, I feel them, but I am to dominate them. This body, I am supposed to live out and be led by my spirit, with the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, right? To dominate this body. But then at the same time, I am called to, you are called to, anointed, appointed by the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you to shut the devil down and to loose the power of God here in the earth. Let's go over to Matthew. So then why is there so much stealing, killing, and destroying? They said just like this. Here we go. They say, Monty, I like statistics. Monty got it that day. I really enjoyed the statistics that you brought. And the one that stuck out to me most, Monty, that said, we are the extremist people that believe lies. Not all the church. Everybody don't believe like we do. That we, according to the way we believe and live, we are the extremist. We are terrorists to the devil. They say, statistics, and I don't know how accurate necessarily that they are, but I've been a pastor's wife for over 20 years, so I could say, talk a little bit about it. That only something like anywhere from 7 to 10% of those confessing that they are Christians, followers of Christ, tithe. Y'all not saying nothing. 7 to 10% God's church around the world has been operating on financially. Think if we had 90 to 100. But see what I'm talking about? If the church had been doing our job all the time in the earth, there wouldn't be no lack of buildings. There wouldn't be no lack of lands. Y'all come on now. You can't have this stuff without finance. Go over there and tell Alabama Power. Listen, I serve the Lord. Let me go over there just for me, since I pay the bills around here. What I mean by that is I write the check. Jesus pays the bills, brings the money. But anyway, through his people. He ain't up in the sky counterfeiting finances, okay? So we get an $800-something light bill. Woo! I go over to Alabama Empire. Listen now, we serve Jesus, and that's God's house, and that's God's power now. And we walk and we live by faith, so I don't think we should pay this. Oh, God, here comes another. I ain't heard this one in a long time. You're a preacher and you go get your hair cut and you want to tell them you're a preacher because you want your preacher's discount. Are you kidding me? You ought to pay double. Why? Because if you're like God, the Bible says God so loved the world, he did what? He took? He gave. The Bible says over in Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 9, it says God loves a cheerful, glad to do it, what? Hoarder. Sucker. Giver. That's supposed to be me and you. So I don't need to be going and getting my hair cut or anything else or discounts on nothing. I should not be looking for no discount. Why? I am one of the richest people in the earth. Some of y'all got real quiet. Rich is not a dirty word. Now, I'm not saying that some of people that claim to be Christians have not misused God's finances. Y'all, if I said that, y'all know I'm lying. But how many knows, just because somebody misuses or abuses something, don't make something wrong. The money reveals whoever and whatever you are and whatever you got in you. Finances will give you more of it. If you love God, there'll be more of your finances put into the kingdom of God. If you love God, there'll be more of your finances to help people, to take care of people, to help supply people's needs. Being led by the Lord. Not being led by somebody's need, because how many knows, it ain't my job. I can't meet everybody in the entire world's need. It might be Monty's turn to do something for somebody. Might be Sandy's double portion blessing that's going to come back to her when she helps meet that. I don't know. I'm called to do whatever he tells me to do. You're called to do whatever he tells you to do. But I should not be running around acting like I'm broke. Being a sucker, the Bible says I am to be a sower. And he says if I will purpose in my heart to be a sower, to be a giver, he'll do what? Supply the seed for me to sow and bread for my food. So they say only 7-10% of the church that says they're the church, the body of Christ, tithes. And I'm sure probably less than that gives in a continuous offering. So what's that tell me? That tells me just right there in that little area, the church is not doing what God called her to do. Therefore, everything God called us to do in the financial area of having things that we need, right? I can't go out there and tell them, look, go down there. Your pastor goes down there, you know, because he likes that land down there where that bank used to be and all that stuff. It's got all them buildings out there. Y'all know where I'm talking about, right down the road, right, by Jack's. Or the fire department, whatever that is. And say he goes down there and calls them up, goes down there and meets with them and says, you know, we need this building for God, but we don't got the money, and we think you should give it to us because we're working for Jesus. They're going to laugh you right out of there. And God ain't broke. And God don't take from others to give to you. He will ask others to give to you at his leading. Why? Because he wants to meet your need and to bless them. But I shouldn't be running around here acting like somebody needs to be giving me something because I am supposed to be the giver. If my God, like he says, come on now, we can quote the word, but you better live it. I better live it. If my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches, because he ain't broke, his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, then why would I ever be looking for a discount? Why would I ever be looking for a sale? Now, I'm not saying you can't, don't misunderstand, I'm not saying you can't buy things that are on sale. Discounts are always good. My point to that is, don't put pressure on people to give you one because you serve Jesus. I don't see him telling his disciples, look, go over and buy bread for this multitude and tell them that you're serving me, you know, and we need them to give it to us. No, he didn't. He just took the blessing of the Lord and put it on it, but he handed it out to them. God supplied it, right? He'll supply mine, right? See, everything with God is about mine and your heart. I don't care what you talk like. I don't care how you preach, how you teach. It's how you live. Because whatever's in me will be revealed in my walk. And everybody's going to see. That's why he says we're going to know them by their fruit. Now, I have fruit trees at my house. And I have had, Monty, before some really good trees, and there's been a couple of bad apples on it. You know, maybe a worm got in it or it just didn't form right or whatever. But for the majority, that tree that's good and healthy sows every one of them apples. Do you realize that's me and you too? Just because I have something that's not quite measured up in my life to perfection of Christ or something like that doesn't mean that I'm not His and that I'm bearing bad fruit. But then I have had those out there, Monty. They might have one good apple on it in a year. What that tells me, there's something wrong with that tree. It had one good apple in a year. There's something wrong with that tree. And the Bible talks about me and you as being the same way. Now let's get back to what I think is my message here, since y'all got me off on all that. Let me read that again so we don't forget. Verse 8. He says, where am I at now? Yeah, Matthew, I'm sorry. I'm on my way to Matthew is what the problem was. I'm over here in Corinthians. I didn't make it that far before y'all got me caught up there. Here in, and I'm going to read this in the King James, I believe it is. Matthew 16, and for time's sake, I'm going to start in verse 16. Now, the scripture's up above it. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, who does men say that I am? And they come up with a lot of different scenarios. But here in verse 16, for time's sake, Peter said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, in other words, ain't nobody told you this, has not revealed it unto you, or unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Notice what he says. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, he's not talking about Peter because ain't no church built on Peter. Peter's gone. He's talking about the revelation of him being the Christ that if you've been born again, you had to have. Or you couldn't be born again. Right? There's no other way to the Father except through the Son. And you can't just think he was a prophet or believe he was a good man. You must believe that he is the Son of the living God if you're going to be born again. He goes on here. Revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven, and also I say unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock, the revelation of who I really am, I will build my what? Church. You individually are not the church. That is a doctrine of a demon. You will not find a scripture for that. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. As an individual person, you get born again, Holy Ghost comes inside of you, but you are not, as an individual person, the church. You get your Strong's Concordance and you go look it up, the word church. In every place in the New Testament, because it's not in the Old, in the New Testament, if you find the word church, you will find an assembly. The called out, called together ones. The Bible says the body of Christ. That he is the head, right? And we are the body. And if we are the body and we everything that we just got through reading is true, that he came to do, the Bible says he's undermining your feet. The Bible says we are seated with him in Ephesians in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? What that means is our place of power and of authority is right beside him. Thank you, Monty. Right beside him. Not under him. Not above him. Not behind him. But beside him. The Bible says he's the firstborn among many brethren. The Bible says that me and you, if you've been born again, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The same, right? Just like we have the same Holy Ghost that came upon him. Y'all remember that study that we did? That the Bible says whenever he was baptized in the River Jordan, that the Holy Ghost came upon him in the form of a dove, and he did nothing before then. But after that, buddy, when the power of God, the Holy Ghost, came on the inside of him, gave him the power to begin to do the miracles and bring the manifestations of the will of God here in the earth. Me and you, same Holy Ghost. There's only one. Oh, and he is my best friend. We read those scriptures a while ago that he came to heal the brokenhearted. You know, a lot of times we just think about those scriptures for those that are lost, that are first coming to him, but they're not. See, because along this way that we go and we walk and we maneuver our lives, the enemy comes at us wide open. And the greater the plan of God is, the more he's going to try to stop you. He has to, because you are a detriment to his kingdom. And he knows it. So all along the way, we have to repent. We have to make adjustments. We have to spend time with him. Because he is the only one that knows the plan. Sometimes along the way, even though you're a Christian, you can become so brokenhearted. Sometimes maybe you did all you know to do and you just didn't know enough. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes maybe you did all you know to do and it just seemed like it didn't work out. But the Holy Ghost is always there. The Bible says he is the comforter. Men, you're like the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to be the comforter. Because see, ain't no devil supposed to be accessing me because he's got to come through my husband first. Ain't no demon supposed to be accessing your kids because they're supposed to be coming through that mom and daddy first. The Bible says he's the comforter. He's the leader. Don't it say he'll lead you? That means he's the leader. Men, you are the leaders of your homes. Right? That men are to be like the comforter, like the Holy Ghost, to lead their homes. You can only lead your family when you're led by him. Because you don't have it in yourself to know. Right? The Bible says, men, we don't even know how to pray as we ought to. But he's there. He'll lead us and guide us and direct us in prayer right into the will of God of exactly what God wants to do and wants us to ask. Because God don't just come in the earth and do whatever he chooses. He's bound himself to work with and through me and you. But wherever we ask him, he'll come. Wherever we open the door, he will come in. Right? Whenever we ask, he will give the answer. Whenever we knock, maybe not right that second, but it'll come, right? And then the Bible says that women, we are the helpers. Not the dictators, not the naggers, the helpers. We're like the Holy Ghost too, right? The Bible said in Genesis, it's not good, God said, for man to be alone. That's why me and you was made, women. Because it wasn't good for a man to be by himself. And it ain't good for a woman to be by herself either. That's why he made the woman. And then he said, and the two shall be joined together and become one flesh. Me and you, our marriages, those of us that are married and that are coming up and going to be married one day. Listen, if you got no desire to be married, that's fine. God gives grace for that. Talk to Paul about that. Also talked to Paul about, he said, if you're going to get married, what? You're going to have trouble in the flesh. Why? Because I got flesh, you got flesh, we all got flesh, and it all has to be subdued, or you got trouble. But the woman is also supposed to be like the Holy Ghost, another part of the Holy Ghost. We are to be the helpers. Right? To help our husbands in whatever endeavor that the will of God is in their lives. Like mine, I have a lot of different hats that I wear to be the helper to my husband. He's a business owner, so I have to take care of parts of that. You know, my home, he don't take care of none of that, bills and there. He makes the money and there. I help in taking care of all of that. Then he's also a pastor, so I have my role that I help in taking. There's no area of his life that I should not be have a part in and be a helper to him. And see, we're made different. That's one of the things that all that woke crap of the devil has been trying to do is make us equal. We'll never be equal. We cannot. We was created from the beginning different, separate. Right? But that's what that stuff's trying to do. Bless God, I don't need a man. What do I need a man for? I can do everything a man can do. No, you can't. When did you build a bridge, woman? Now, I'm not saying a woman can't work helping to build a bridge. Y'all get where I'm going. The Bible says a woman is not supposed to be independent of her husband, and that is what the devil tries to do to us. Make us independent where we don't need y'all. That's a lie of the devil. We do need y'all, and y'all need us. Ooh, this is not in my message, I thought. But how many knows I'm not supposed to just get up here and read a book? I'm supposed to get up here under the anointing and the power of God to meet your needs. And I don't know what they are, but the Holy Ghost does. And if I'll flow with Him and you'll draw on Him, everybody will get exactly what they need. Whether it's a little tidbit of a phrase or it's a whole teaching on it. He can say things to you that I don't even say when we're under the anointing. Right? So I am to be the helper. And along this way, there's times that you can get messed up. And you don't even, I'm not even talking necessarily. I'm talking about just general being a Christian. There's times that you can lose your way, get off the path. Not because there's anything wrong with you. Not because you don't love God or not because you did something wrong. Just, how many knows that if you don't see the road all the time, you can veer off. Oh, but He is faithful. His name is faithful and true. That if you have a willing heart and you'll ask Him, He'll gently come and put you back on. And this is why we have to have humility. Because He don't do this for the prideful. According to Scripture, the prideful think they got it all worked out. I know what I'm doing. He'll let you go to hell with that. Because you have free choice. And He will not intervene in that. Right? He cannot. Because then the devil would say, see there? Look what you did. And he won't do it. And listen, love is not always what we think it is. God is love. And He will love us all the way to hell if that's what we choose to do. Because He will not override my will. He'll send the Holy Ghost to deal with me, to convict me, to convince me, to draw me, but make me? Never. He's not a demon. So we have to, all along the way, He says He came to heal the brokenhearted. Those that have been bruised, those that are crushed. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you have any of that anywhere, if you'll open up and ask, the Holy Spirit will come in and He will comfort you. I didn't know at one time, but I kept telling Scotty, we need to go to therapy. I knew something was wrong with me. I've heard the story or whatever. I didn't know necessarily what was wrong with me, Monty, and I didn't know how to fix it. I would cry and bawl and fast and pray and read my Bible. And I couldn't seem to fix it because I can't fix what I don't even know the problem is. I just know there's a problem. Oh, but he's faithful. I had never heard anybody say the Holy Ghost could be your therapist. Now, I knew it said he was my counselor, but Monty, I reckon in my infinite mind or finite, whatever you call that thing, when I ain't got on the mind of Christ using it there, I thought counselor, I guess, meant, you know, counsel me, go this direction or that direction or do this or don't. But no, he is a therapist. I saw him peel layer in my spirit, layer after layer off of me like an onion. And then when he got, and this just took just a few minutes. And then after that, I saw like a little rose and it had a bud that was just about to open. See, you can't do that to you. But if you'll open the door, you need him to, he will do it. Now, there's other people, maybe they don't need that. Maybe they just need somebody walking with them. He says he will, right? He's the paraclete. He's the one that comes and walks alongside. Not behind, not in front. It says aside, along beside us. Amen? Now, let's get back to this here. He goes on here and he says, verse 17, he said, "Hey, didn't nobody on earth reveal it to you but my Father." Verse 18, "I say also unto thee," if he said it unto Peter that is a disciple, we are his disciples today, right? Just a different generation down the road. So if he said it to them, he's saying the same thing to us. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, upon this revelation, I will build my church," my assembly. "And the gates of hell," devil's had a bad day, "shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee," or unto you, "the keys of the kingdom." Glory to God of heaven. "And whatsoever thou shalt bind on the earth." Remember Matthew 6? Jesus told him, pray this way. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come," where? "On earth." How? "As it is in heaven." Why would he say that? Because you got the keys, Christian. Right? It is mine and your job to bring heaven here on the earth. He goes on here. And he says, "And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Now listen to me. When he says heaven there, he's not necessarily talking about up there. How many knows there's three? There is the one that we look at when we go out here and it's blue or gray or whatever color it is, right? We would call it the sky. That's one heaven. Then you got another level of heaven, which is where demons live. They dwell. Then you got, now Paul is the one talked about this the most that I know of. Then you got a third heaven the Bible talks about, right? That's where God himself dwells. He says, whatever me and you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. If we bind it here, we shut it down there where it can't come here and operate. And if it is operating here and we shut it down, it has to stop. Why? It comes from there first. Everything here came from there first. Why? Because that's first. There was heaven before there was ever earth, right? It wasn't earth and then heaven. So whatever's happening here is because somebody has allowed it to take place there long enough to where now it's operating here and you can see it and feel it. But if it's not happening here, then that means somebody shut it down there. Right? Isn't that what it's saying? Excuse me. He says, "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you..." Church, body of Christ, bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven. "And whatsoever thou shalt loose." So we're not just supposed to bind, we're supposed to loose. "On earth shall be loosed in heaven." Why? God's got things in the kingdom he wants here to the earth, right? We're to bring the kingdom of heaven here to the earth. And we're supposed to shut down the kingdom of darkness. Now let's go over there and read it in Amplified. I think I got it both ways on that one. No, just that one. That's good enough. All right, let's go over to... we got about 10 minutes, mate. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Very familiar scriptures. How many knows it don't really matter if it's familiar to you or not? You can get so familiar with the word, you don't live it. You don't walk it, but you quote it to everybody else. And that does you no good. It's only the word that you do. Right? Ain't that what James said? Be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Why? Because you're going to deceive your little self, Christian. The devil didn't even deceive you. Right? It says deceiving yourself. You're thinking because you got it up here, but ain't living it in here and out here. You know it and you do it and you don't. So therefore you become self-deceived, the Bible says. We're not going to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me get over there. Verse 17. What did I tell you? Amplify, Beth? Okay. He says, therefore, if any person, now this is when you get born again, is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. You go from death to life. When you ask Jesus to come into your heart, you repent of your sin and ask him to come into your heart, he comes. He said he would. Right then, you become someone and something you've never been before. You're no longer the person that you used to be. I'm not talking about you look in the mirror and your hair's blue. I'm talking about you look in the mirror, your hair's same color, eyes same color. I'm talking about in your spirit, man. That's why all this stuff has to be walked out, mind has to be renewed and all that. But anyway... All things have become new. You're a new creation altogether, creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself. Listen, if you ever pray and you feel like your prayers is not going above the ceiling, don't think nothing about that. A lot of people get fooled by that. Why would I say that? Y'all remember Daniel, right? He fasted and he prayed. 21 days. And the Bible says, when Gabriel come, he said, I am sent because of your words. And he said, I heard you and I come with the answer from the time you said it. But he's got to get through them heavenlies, right? And get the answer here to the earth. And I couldn't get the job done by myself. I'm paraphrasing. I couldn't get the job done by myself because the prince of Persia, the demons, hindered me. Oh, but God's faithful and he sent Michael and we just whooped him all the way back home. And here's your answer, Daniel. So if you're praying and you feel like God's not hearing you and you feel like he's not answering you, the devil is a liar. And tell him he is. And thank God, God, you've already sent the answer. The Bible says that if we pray and we ask God for anything according to his will, then we know he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have the petitions we've asked of him. And that's the end of that. Right? Your answer's coming. And gave unto us, Christian, right? Born again believer, the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God that, we ain't got just a couple of minutes here. I'm going to bypass that right there. But notice what it says, verse 20. So we are Christ ambassadors, God making his appeal through us. We as Christ's personal representatives beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor now offered you and be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made Christ to be sin who knew no sin. And the Bible says he made me and you the righteousness of God in him. Now, I got like a minute. So let's look here at Matthew 11. Very familiar scriptures. A lot of this has been used only for people to be born again, and it ain't so. This word is for anybody and anytime you need it. He can show you applications of this word you've never heard of and never even crossed your mind. The Holy Ghost is the one that authored pen the writers to write this. But here in Matthew 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 28, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. This is Jesus talking. He said, come to me. Listen, he's already drawn as close as he can to me and you. Now he's waiting on a response. Right? He did it through Jesus. Now he's waiting on a response to what he has done for us. Now he says, come to me, all you who labor, and that's, you can be so laborious as a Christian, and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you, he says, and learn of me. For I am gentle, I'm meek and humble, lowly in heart. And you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. He says, for my yoke is wholesome. It's useful, good. It's not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. But it's comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. He said, and my burden is light and easy to be borne. So if we're going to be his representatives, how we got to be? Like him. I have another scripture. It's over there in Matthew. And he told the Pharisees. We all know who they was, right? He told them, he said, you shut up the kingdom of God against men. He said, even when they're trying to come in, you won't let them in, you hypocrites. We do not want to be like that. Right? Jesus, all those that come to him, the sinners, when they would come to him, he didn't say, I tell you right now, you stop doing that and you can come over here and eat some supper with us. Did he? But yet at the same time, in his presence, they didn't want to sin no more. He says, if we'll come to him, and I don't care if you've been saved 50 years or you're not saved yet. He says, if we'll come to him, he will cause a well of living water to be in me and you that we will never, ever thirst again. I've got to stop because our time is up. Does anybody have any questions or comments or anything they'd like to share before we close?